Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. I just thank God for another time to be here. Hallelujah. And we're just going to get into this sermon that the Lord has placed on my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear God, we just come praying. Dear God, first of all, thanking you to be here another year, dear God, as we celebrate 2016. Dear God, help us celebrate it because, dear God, number one, we know who you are, dear God. And we pray, dear God, that you would move in our life this year in a way that we have not seen before, and that we would yield ourselves to you in a way that we haven't yielded ourselves to you as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to continue part two of the Light of the World series. I started it right before Christmas, and then we had the plays. And I was like, oh, man, I got to finish this series up. Amen. But we talked about what does it mean when Jesus is your light? And we talked about definitions of light, and one of them was the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. And then number two was understanding of a problem or mystery or enlightenment. Now, you know, as I always talk about when I get to drive with people, I'm in the car with people. And when you're in the car with people, it's a close setting. So you could talk about all kinds of things. People talk about a whole bunch of crazy stuff, but I always try to let my light shine. One of the first things I do when I pray before I start driving is I say, God, let me be a light to somebody today. You know, why do I say that? Because they need to know who God is. I've rarely picked up people that know who God was. I can count about maybe five or six people that we're Christians. Outside of that, you have all kind of lifestyles. You name it, I've picked them up, right? But one thing that I always talk about, or one thing that I hear people say is, they're not religious. That's one of the biggest things. Oh, I'm not religious. And then, you know, what I tell them is, well, Christianity isn't religion either. It's about having a relationship with God. Why do I say this? And even this New Year's Eve, or it was New Year's by the time I dropped them off, there was two people, and I was just telling them, God wants to have a relationship with you. When you get out, that's what I want you to understand. He really wants to have a relationship with you. And I don't know why you feel like you are distant from God besides your sin. We all know we have that. But when you realize that God sent his son to shed the light on our sin, and if we accept him, he'll allow us to have a relationship with God. When we realize that, it allows us to say, hey, I'm nobody special. Let me share that with somebody else. Right? When we understand that we are not entitled to Christianity, we are given it by grace and by God's mercy. Amen? We're not entitled. There's nothing that makes me more special than the next person. The only difference is I have accepted what God has sent, and that was his son, the light of the world. So I have, in turn, the job to share that light with other people. Amen? One of the things it said is light gives the ability to see. Right? There's so many people that are in the dark in their minds. Right? They're confused. Confusion is a clear point of view that somebody is in the dark. Right? Why do we say that? Because they walk around confused. Oh, I don't know what to do. They're in the dark. Many people are confused. Many people are hurting. Many people feel like they're nobody. Right? But we have to show them the light that God said that they are worth everything. He sent his son. The Bible says, if he sent his son, why? How much more would he not give all things to us? Amen. That means, as we love to sing the song, worth. How does the song go? I can't remember. He thought I was worth it. Thought I was worth saving. God believes in everybody's worth. Amen. Now, this is not a message that I'm making up, but sometimes we forget this kind of stuff because we felt like, oh, I grew into this thing. I've read enough scriptures. I prayed enough, and now I'm entitled to this. But guess what? The Bible talks about, and I always talk about this with some of my friends, that we were grafted in, right? If there's a tree, and oh, yeah, I think I talked about this before. There was this guy, he had this tree that he created over the years, and it had all kind of fruits on this tree. He spent time grafting this tree, and he was like, yeah, pastors have used this as a sermon. But what it was saying was God has grafted us into this tree so now we can be a part of the vine, be a part of him. Amen? To graft something means to put it together with something that it wasn't like. Right? And what begins to happen is the tree, over time, it begins to be strengthened. Those branches become one with the other branch. And God has allowed us to be one with him. Now, this is the incredible thing. That's incredible. But if you don't walk with him, he says, your branch will be torn down. And he'll let somebody else get back in that branch. He'll grab somebody else in. So we got to remember that this is not an entitlement. It is a privilege that God has blessed us with. Amen. Last time we also talked about Simeon prophesying about Jesus, the light coming into the world. He was a man of God that was waiting, and God told him that he would not see death until he saw the Son of God. And when he saw the light, he was like, I'm ready, God, take me home now. Right? He was excited because he saw the light of the world. And then one of the things he said was he is going to bring revelation to the world. He's going to open people's eyes to who God is. Amen. Now, after that, I talked about God's light allows us to see him. Once we have seen God in John 3:16, I actually started at 17 through 21. It talked about people that are coming to the light, and some people don't come to the light. We all know that, right? There are going to be some people that don't go to the light. But I'll tell you one thing we can never do. We can never predetermine who those people are, right? Sometimes I don't know if he's going to accept the gospel. He doesn't look like he's going to accept the gospel. I don't know how we figured out what Christians look like, right? Because all of us were sinners. I'm pretty sure that some of those disciples that Jesus chose were not the people that everybody else would have chose. Or else they would have already had good jobs, nice clothes, right? Jesus took a bunch and made them into mighty men of God because, one, they saw the light and they followed the light. Amen. That's the only criteria to becoming a Christian. Amen. And I think that we have to make sure that we are not putting a predetermined status on what it looks like to be a Christian. There's going to begin to be people that we think are not looking like believers, but God wants to save them. Amen. And we have to be ready for that. Just determine in your mind right now something that you don't like, right? God can save that person. God can save that person, turn their life around drastically when they see the light and follow the light. Amen? So we talked about what it looks like. What does it mean when Jesus is your light? Today we're going to talk about, are we sharing the light? Amen? Because it's not a good enough thing to be known or to see the light. We need to reflect the light. We should be mirrors of his image. Amen? And I'll even say it like this. When you mess up, one thing that shows that you are part of the light is to fess up your mess ups. Right? Confess and say, man, I messed up. Why do you do this? So that you realize that, hey, I'm not perfect. Number one, that's important, right? If my wife is right, I tell you, babe, you were right. Don't I do that? And, you know, sometimes everything inside of you doesn't want to say that. But if I was wrong, I was wrong. So why would I waste time trying to act like I'm always right, even though your mind thinks that? But it's good for me to hear myself say, man, I was wrong. Right? So that pride doesn't creep up and think that, oh, man, I'm doing everything right. Amen? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 through 10. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. It's talking about walking in the light. All right, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to all, and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. All right? So it's important to understand that God is light and there is no darkness at all in God. Now, how many people have heard people say that? Oh, I even give you an example. People say that religion has caused most of the fights in the world. Right? We could debate that. But I don't even debate that. Why? Because it's not religion, it's people's selfish motives that have caused wars. Right? And what that is darkness. So if you go look at God, that's not a part of God because God has no darkness. Darkness is not in God. We can go to James chapter 1 or 2, and it talks about that no temptation comes from God, but it comes from us because we are evil people. There's nothing evil in God. Amen. So when there's people that are inside the church that have started doing things that are evil, we need to learn how to separate that from God and man. Right? Now, like I always say, the world doesn't understand that. If a pastor does something wrong, all pastors are hypocrites. If a pastor is doing this, every Christian is like that, right? Now we don't say that about them in the world. If somebody in the world does, I mean, we there's so many different things we can pick from. But if somebody in the world is a killer, we don't say everybody in the world is a killer. But the world, first of all, because they don't want to accept the church, they'll use that to reject it, right? Have you ever not liked somebody and you use certain prejudices to prove your dislike for those people, right? That's what racism does. Maybe you have one bad experience with somebody from another race, or one person from another race drives slow, right? They're horrible drivers, and we all of a sudden, we say all of those people can't drive, right? I was talking to somebody about that. I was like, it's funny that people say that, but then you got to think of some of those people, those races, they're speedsters. They drive super fast. You know, so you can't say that, but people justify that because that's what they wanted in their hearts. And their hearts are evil. Amen? And I know when I preach this, a lot of people don't like hearing that we're evil. But we have to say this. Your sinful nature makes you hideous. It doesn't make you look good. You were once in the dark, but thank God we have come into the light. Amen. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, who's him? God, and God is light. If we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Let's read that again. If we say that we have fellowship with him, God, and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This is why it's important that we live as children of the light. Why do I say this? Because many people, if you say you're a Christian, many people associate Christianity with how you act. Right? Next time you say, hey, I'm a Christian, watch how people watch you. They'll watch how you act in the middle of turmoil. They'll watch how you act in different things. Why? Because you're a Christian. And they're watching you. But what begins to happen is if you don't act like a Christian, you turn them off from Christianity. Right? We know people that confess, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I love God. And then they cussing somebody out and then they think, oh, all Christians are like that. Why? Because they associated what Christ is supposed to look like with you. And then if they see you acting like them, they say, I don't need that. I could do that without God. Right? The way you're acting, somebody that's supposed to be in the light, this is why it's so dangerous to not walk in the light. Because when people see you and you look just like them, and how many Christians, quote unquote, do we see that look just like the world? It's almost like a fad. I gotta look just like the world so I can reach the world. No, you don't. Right? You don't have to become. Paul did say, I become all things so I can win some, right? But he wasn't talking about sinning so he can win people. You don't do that. Why? Because we just go back. You cannot walk in the light and have fellowship with the darkness. Amen? This is why it's so important that we watch what we are doing to make sure that we do not offend the light. We don't want to be the ozone of the light. We don't want to be the, what does that call that? That dark spot that's supposed to be on the world somewhere. Well, anyway. We don't want to be the black hole of the light, right? We don't want to be that shade in the light. We should continue to bring the light. Amen. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's important because now it's talking about those that are walking in light, but it talks about he even forgives our sins. Why? Because sometimes we might mess up. But like I said earlier, if you confess your sins, right, you can be forgiven. Now, the people that walk in darkness, this is the difference. People that walk in darkness, they say, I can do this. This is what I'm doing. This is part of who I am. I got saved, you know, I could do, but I could do whatever I want. No, you can't. Right? You have to say, I'm wrong, confess, and Jesus will forgive your sins. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Somebody say, we deceive ourselves. So that's why it's important to realize sometimes you're going to mess up. But we got to allow ourselves to say we do mess up. And God, we want you to forgive us. But if you say that you have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen. Now, we are getting to a place where the church has become more and more liberal is a word that we might hear a lot. We have a lot more grace and they can do what they want to do. But that is dangerous because what they're saying is now they're not sinning. Right? They're saying now I'm not really sinning. That's me just doing me. I heard the gospel. I've accepted it. I said that prayer. But see, it's not just enough to say the prayer. What happens is the transformation. See, a lot of people will get saved. They'll say the prayer, but they don't get transformed. Right? What is that transformation? That transformation looks like, man, I used to do this. Before I got saved, I used to do this, but now, since I'm saved and I want to please God because I have a relationship with God and I don't want to disappoint him, not because I'm religious, but because of my relationship with God, now I'm going to go this way. I used to go that way, though. That's the transformation. If you don't have a transformation or a change, you have not really been saved, right? Now, that goes for anybody. And I don't care if you were a good person or a bad person. There has to be a transformation in your life. Amen. What has happened is you saw the light, just like Saul, who got changed to Paul. He saw the light and was transformed. Because Saul was on the way to do what he wanted to do, right? But when God knocked him off his high horse or his donkey, he was changed. He was transformed. Even the place that he was supposed to go got changed. Now he couldn't even go the place he wanted to go. One thing that happened was he was blinded, right? And I've talked about this. Sometimes maybe we need to, faith sometimes is a blind walk. God, I don't know where I'm supposed to go, but you said go here, so I'm going to just go there. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm going to trust you. And that's what Saul had to do, and he was transformed into Paul. But there must be a transformation. Amen? Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1:1. Yep, the Gospel of John. It's funny how these, if you look at John and then 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, John chapter 3, it's almost matching. It's crazy how much stuff is in there. It says right here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. All right? So what is that saying? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That what that shows us real quick is that the light is what gives life. Right? Sometimes you can see in somebody's eyes what kind of life they're into. Right? And I don't want you to start looking into people's eyes to figure out, oh, he's into this, he's into that. But you can kind of see, as the Bible said, their countenance fell. Their countenance was not light, but their countenance was evil. It was dark. But it says that the light created the world, was in the world, but we didn't comprehend it. Amen? So what that says is we, first of all, one of the most important parts of understanding that Jesus is the light is we have to understand that. We have to comprehend that he is the light and not be blinded by the darkness. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. All right. So it's talking about John the Baptist, his purpose, which is our purpose, right? Our purpose is to show people the light of the world. Can we all agree? If that was, if any person in the Bible was given a job description, we should receive that same job description, right? Now let's put some boundaries to that. Now, you don't have to go kill Goliath, right? In the physical. But in the spiritual, you might have some Goliaths to battle, okay? There are certain things that happened in the Bible that were for the Bible days, but there's also things in the Bible now that we take and we internalize these things. Amen? Because if you look at the entirety of the Bible, it doesn't tell us to go start fights. The Bible says, be at peace with all men if it is possible. Amen? So that means sometimes it's not going to be possible to be at peace with some people. But you got to do everything you can to keep it peaceful until it jumps off and then represent for the Lord. Amen. What verse was I at? Verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right. So what we get to see is Jesus is the light of the world. And as I said earlier, it is available to all that believe. Everyone that believes that he is the light, and not only the light, but he is the life. When we believe that, he gives everybody the chance to believe. And if you believe, you are saved. Amen. And then what I like is it clarifies. It says, and this is not somebody that were born, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It doesn't matter what kind of nationality you are. Doesn't matter if you were a king and you had another child and he's a prince. It has nothing to do with man. It has everything to do with God. Amen. Why do I share that? Because so many people come up with different things that the word of God does not say, and they want to make it the word of God. Oh, if you're not this kind of person, you can't be saved. That's not what the Bible just told me. Right? And that's why what begins to happen is there many people use their ammunition, because they're upset about some other kind of race or some other kind of people, to block other people from being saved. Right? But they're doing that in foolishness. Because once again, there's nothing we did to deserve what God has given. Amen? All right. I'm going to wrap it up with this right here. And this is Jesus confessing that he is the light. We'll go to John chapter 12, verse 42, and we'll end it. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I wasn't really supposed to read that, but it's interesting. What happens is some of these people believe the light, but they didn't act like they're a part of the light, because they love something else more than they love God. The praise of men. Now, I think that, I mean, I think when I was growing up, I remember this one time, me and Michael, we were at Dad's office and the Chicago Bulls were in town. And we went to the hotel they were at. I don't even know how, I think Dad knew where they were at. So we went to the hotel to get their autographs, and we saw Michael Jordan walk out. Hey, Jordan, there's not a lot of us out there. Jordan, can we get your autograph? And he just walked by, right? No headphones on or nothing like that. So I was like, man, the only person's autograph we got that day was John Paxson, right? And John Paxson was like, oh, Michael Jordan, yeah, John Paxson, okay, I'll take your autograph, right? And then I did that a couple times. I think we saw Chris Webber. I might have got Chris Webber's autograph. I can't remember. But we saw the Sacramento Kings in town. And then after a while, I was like, why do I do this? You know, like, these people, they're not special. Like this is just my opinion. Because some people, oh, I took a picture with Mike Tyson, right? You know, I took a picture with, you know, whoever their celebrity is. And these people chase these people. They're super excited. But when you realize that they're just a person, like, you're just a person, it doesn't matter. Like, so what I begin to do is I'm not shocked or starstruck by people. And after experiencing that made me be like, man, he's not nobody different. I saw him. Wow. Ooh. You know, but many people get caught up in the praise of men. That's what they go to look for. Have you ever seen people that are always taking pictures to show people, hey, look at where I was at? Why do they do that? So people be like, oh, man, you were there. Oh, cool, right? But what begins to happen is you put that higher than you put pleasing God. And that's a dangerous thing. That's an idol. Amen? So we cannot be caught up on people or what they are doing and saying, hey, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not. We should be more excited about God than anything else. Amen. Verse 44 says, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me. Now, this is important. It's actually good that I read that because some of them believed in him, but he's going to give them some clarity. He says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Verse 46 says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. All right? And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. Whoa, that's interesting. Jesus wasn't judging the people, even though they didn't believe. That's interesting, isn't it? It says, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, this is very interesting because one of the first things people think about Christians is they're always judging me. Right? But it's interesting that Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but I came to save. Us as a church, we are not to judge. First of all, if you read the scriptures correctly, it tells us not to judge those who are outside the house of God. Right? What does that look like? That if they're doing sin, they're sinners. That's what they do. Right? If you're a basketball player, you play basketball. If you are a sinner, you do various types of things that are against the will of God. That's what they do. Right? But we don't judge them. We tell them how they can be saved. We show them the way that they can be saved. Amen? And when we do that, we put it in God's hands, not ours. The worst thing that we get is, oh, man, that person, he can't never be saved. And what happens if they heard that and then they believe that? Right? You just going to hell. Hey, you heard some Christians tell people you going to hell? The problem is they begin to believe that. And then they say, well, I'm going to live that way till I get there. I'm going to do everything I can because I'm going to hell because that person told me that. That's not what we're here for. Amen? We're here to show people that we can be saved and they can be saved just as Jesus came to save and not to judge. Amen? It says, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who has sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50 says, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So what Jesus is saying is they'll be judged by the word of God. All will be judged by the word of God. But we don't take this word and start smiting people and telling them that's the judgment. Here, one of the movies Mr. T was in, he was like, they're going to hell anyway. Let's send them there faster. Right? And it was funny because it was the last days and they had already accepted the mark of the beast. Right? It's too late after that anyway. But it's just funny how he says that. But unfortunately, some Christians are like that. They're going to hell anyway. We don't know who's going to be saved. We don't know. And your heart, if you have the heart of God, should be that all men get saved. Your heart should be, and this is something that we got to pray as we walk in the light, is that God help us have that heart that everybody should be saved. You know, one thing when I share the gospel with these people, I just be like, God, move by your spirit. I've planted the seed. You know, and sometimes we get caught up with, I want to see that person get saved so I can say I saved them, but I can't save nobody from nothing. Right? I give you an example. You can think you saved them, but guess what? Guess who they're going to call on when they need help? You. and you are not available 24/7, right? And unfortunately, sometimes the church uses the ministers like their God, right? Oh, I got a problem. Let me call the pastor. What's the pastor going to do? Right? He's just a man. That's why you have to have a relationship with the light. When that light goes on, when you have a problem, you say, oh, wait. I can pray and God's going to turn this around. Why? Because I have a relationship with God. Amen? And that's so important. Amen? If this was impactful, go ahead and lift your hand up. Amen. We want to continue to be the light that God is calling us to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that you would allow us to be the light. Dear God, in this neighborhood, in this city, in our world today, dear God, help us to be the light and let people know, dear God, that you love them. Dear God, help us to resemble you. Dear God, I even pray, dear God, that you put away our own selfish ambitions, our own pride, our own whatever we like, dear God, remove that out the way. And dear God, allow us to be adherers to your word, but also be attentive to what you are saying to us, oh God. And just like Jesus said, he spoke what the Father spoke. Allow us to speak what you called us to speak, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.